I think we need to, because the measurement of just the economic financial indicator of surplus, it's not sufficient. Because for women in communities, when they are saying, has our economic situation improved, they are also looking at whether they have quality access to basic services like running water, food security, education for their children, sustainable fuel and energy sources so that they don't have to walk the long distances to fetch firewood. So it might not be measured that they have an extra penny in their pocket, but the overall health and well-being of that household and the dynamics and potential and capabilities of that household has shifted.
The macroeconomic policies that the IMF have been talking about for quite some time now are, you know, infrastructure investment and domestic revenue mobilization. And that translates, I think, to a certain degree of what you're talking about.
Just to stick with infrastructure, investment in infrastructure. If we put a gender lens, if we put a prioritization of women's care work into the infrastructure, it might mean that the IMF technical advice to a government might be to say, okay, you want to build a road from the city center to go to country X or to go to this province in order to facilitate trade or movement of goods and services. But why can't you also maybe, yes, prioritize this, but look at staggering so that you also prioritize rural electrification or solar panels in rural areas so that women are able to have an energy source which unleashes their potential to be more in the productive sector. So those linkages are very critical for the work that we do. And yes, we need those roads because women have to go with their produce to the market. We do cross-border trading. We need good roads, good border posts. But unless the household care issues are addressed, women are not able to do that regional cross-border trade when they have to leave their children with nobody to fetch water for them. So I think these are the dynamics that you're talking about. It's a question of priorities and choice for our governments.
The discussion at the end of the seminar focused on violence against women. Do you believe that women are sufficiently protected under the current laws?
At the global level, there is a robust treaty body system that is trying to address the issue of violence against women. Laws are important, but they are insufficient in themselves. They are insufficient if they are not translated to practical support by law enforcement. So you may have a law, but if the police are not trained, if the law courts do not take that law very seriously, if people do not have access to justice, we will continue to see the law being insufficient. So the issue of violence against women is an issue that we need every citizen in this world to stand up and say zero tolerance, and where we need to integrate the issue into our various work. And I know that within the World Bank IMF group, there's been effort around the economic cost of violence against women. We need to use that data because at times it's critical to do this research and this analysis simply to reveal the issue and to support governments to make appropriate choices for the protection of human rights of their citizens.
How important is technology to this issue of financial inclusion for women?
I think technology is no longer an option. It's now a public good. The critical challenge that we have is that we still have the digital divide. In developing countries, even if we are celebrating in Africa the penetration of mobile telephony, but it's not accessible to everybody. So yes, we are celebrating mobile telephony, but we need to continue to look at the digital divide on the infrastructure side that is still there. There are exciting innovations around financial inclusion. Mobile money, mobile banking that we see with EcoCash, and really creating a revolution around how women are owning and are participating within the financial sector. But it's baby steps. As long as the whole financial inclusion and women's participation is still from the premise of women as consumers of policy, products, and innovation, We need to see women as co-creators of technology, co-creators of content, co-creators of the products, to be owning, to be in the decision-making table, to be shareholders,